Michael Dell's journey began not with computers, but with stamps. As a middle schooler growing up in Houston, he launched Dell's Stamps, a mail-order business that foreshadowed his future. By 14, he'd saved enough from various ventures to purchase an Apple II for $1,298, which he immediately disassembled to understand its components, much to his parents' horror. This insatiable curiosity about how things worked would become his defining characteristic. While other teenagers enjoyed summer breaks, the 18-year-old Dell was simultaneously running two profitable businesses. His primary venture involved purchasing base model IBM PCs, upgrading them with additional memory and hard drives, then selling these enhanced machines to professionals through newspaper ads. His second operation practiced arbitrage, buying computers from overstocked retailers and selling them to undersupplied stores. I would fly to cities with surpluses, rent U-Hauls despite being underage, and transport 30-40 PCs at a time, Dell recalls. Later, I discovered shipping computers via Greyhound bus was even more cost-effective for in-state transactions. By the time he entered the University of Texas as a pre-med student, Dell's entrepreneurial fire was already burning too bright to extinguish. Room 2713 of Moore Hill Dormitory became ground zero for a business revolution, with inventory overwhelming the space so completely that his roommate created a makeshift wall of computer boxes just to carve out living space. When Dell's computer side business hit $80,000 monthly, his parents staged an intervention at the Austin Hyatt Regency over his abandoned medical school plans. After a brief attempt to focus on studies, 10 days of computer abstinence confirmed his true calling. Dell rented a North Austin condo with high ceilings for inventory and established PCs Limited as a sole proprietorship, incorporating as Dell Computer Corporation in May 1984. The company grew rapidly, hiring roughly one employee per week. Their makeshift management system used clotheslines to track orders: top for new orders, middle for awaiting parts, bottom for problems. A pivotal 3-week trip to Asian electronics factories enabled 20-year-old Dell to establish direct relationships with component manufacturers. By bypassing middlemen, he secured direct shipping arrangements that reduced costs and provided early access to new technologies, creating an advantage over larger competitors. The company's engineering team developed their 286 computer prototype, launching in March 1986 with superior performance and pricing compared to IBM and Compaq. Dell's explosive growth came with severe challenges, operating on just $300,000 cash and a $600,000 credit line. When the FCC demanded production stoppage due to radio frequency interference, the 21-year-old Dell, who didn't know the FCC from the DMV, found salvation through former FCC chairman Dick Wiley, buying time for his engineers to redesign their shielding systems. Quality control issues, including computers catching fire, led to an unexpected solution via Tandem Computers plant manager Bob Swem. Though he initially sent a cease and desist letter over employee poaching, they ultimately struck a deal to adopt his innovative barcoding system for parts tracking. Dell's final hurdle was overcoming their down-market mail-order image. A strategic partnership with Honeywell Bull, paying $30 per PC for global service coverage, enabled them to secure major corporate and government contracts, transforming their market position. In November 1988, 23-year-old Michael Dell wrote a one-page value statement for his 200 employees, emphasizing product quality, customer service, respect, and excellence. The tech bubble created many wealthy Dellionaires through stock options, but its 2000 burst led to falling stock prices and missed targets. Learning that half the employees would leave for equal pay elsewhere revealed a cultural crisis. The 9/11 tragedy catalyzed renewal. After helping customers rebuild with rapid computer deliveries, Dell launched the Soul of Dell in January 2002. This framework established 5 core principles: customers, the Dell team, direct relationships, global corporate citizenship, and winning, balancing corporate success with workplace quality. Dell maintains strategic relationships with tech leaders like Bill Gates as a collaborative partner and Steve Jobs as a potential ally. Though Jobs' 1997 proposal to license macOS proved unfeasible, they maintained professional respect despite Jobs once playfully targeting Dell during a company presentation. By 2013, Wall Street still viewed Dell primarily as a PC maker, despite enterprise solutions generating nearly 50% of profits. This disconnect led to discussions about privatization, an idea first proposed by Southeastern Asset Management. The $24.4 billion buyout, the largest tech-leveraged buyout in history, faced opposition from Carl Icahn, who claimed the deal undervalued the company. Though he positioned himself as a shareholder advocate, his history of activist investing suggested other motives. "I didn't want another company," Dell explained. "This was the one with my name on it. I will care about this company after I'm dead. I love this stuff." The shift to private ownership freed Dell from quarterly earnings pressure, allowing focus on long-term strategy. Employee and customer satisfaction soared, and the company reduced its buyout debt ahead of schedule. As a private company, Dell pursued its boldest move, acquiring storage giant EMC for $67 billion, the largest technology acquisition in history. Michael Dell recognized software's potential for higher margins compared to hardware's typical 15-20%. When EMC became available, Dell approached CEO Joe Tucci about acquisition. Despite EMC's $59 billion market cap, Tucci was receptive as he neared retirement without a successor. An innovative tracking stock solution made the deal financially viable. Dell approached the integration with care, avoiding acquisition language and personally engaging with EMC executives and key personnel to ensure their commitment to the combined company. By 2018, the merger had exceeded expectations with $20 billion in new revenues. Dell regained leadership in US PC shipments and worldwide server revenue while VMware flourished. After reducing debt, Dell returned to public markets in December 2018 as a transformed company with expanded capabilities. The COVID-19 pandemic showcased Dell's resilience. Their prior investment in digital transformation enabled 100,000 employees to transition to remote work in a single weekend, with productivity actually improving due to their existing flexible work culture. Dell views the pandemic's remote work shift as a permanent change. Virtual meetings yielded unexpected benefits, including broader participation. Customer meetings now accommodate 30 to 40 people instead of 8. Throughout the crisis, Dell Technologies committed significant resources to virus research and therapeutic development. Michael Dell's leadership stems from insatiable curiosity, a trait he considers undervalued. This curiosity, which kept him engaged as a child, still drives him today as he views transformation as a race with no finish line, filled with learning opportunities. His journey from dorm room entrepreneur to global tech leader embodies his family motto, "Play nice, but win." This philosophy proves that treating people with respect doesn't diminish ambition. True success comes from innovation, perseverance, and strategic risk-taking while maintaining core values, showing that winning doesn't require sacrificing integrity, but rather channeling it purposefully.